such a special journey. We come together and we worship like that. It's so powerful to me. It means so much. I'm going to continue on. Last week we were talking about Saul, and Israel demanded a king. And I want to just go on. We're going to just look at some more stuff in here. I really believe we're in need of a king again. I really do. You know, when you think back to the times of the king, you see people that will not, like back in the days of the king, you didn't tell the king no, you obeyed the king. The king put out a decree, you listened to the king. And I really see that it's interesting. As Israel was seeking a king like everybody else, they had a king. And I want you to think about this for a minute. They're demanding from Samuel, give us a king like every other nation. We want to be like everybody else. In a way, their desire to have a king like every other nation was in a lot of ways a desire to not be under the kingship of God. Now, if you look at any government, if you look at any authority, when the throne or the law or the whatever it is not established, you know, you can see how good a kingdom is many times by the servants. Do they listen to the king? Do they obey the king? And remember that God told Samuel when he was really sad about Israel asking for a king, he said, don't worry about it. They rejected me, not you. So isn't it interesting? They're asking for the same thing they have. But the truth is, they're asking for something different. See, God's always really said, listen to me, obey me, and if you don't, then repent. And there's always been this system. But obedience has always been a really important part. And many times I'm not sure why we lose track of that. But a couple things that I really think the kingship of God is and of Jesus is I think God's doing a renewal that we start recognizing the kingship, the authority of God in our midst. Not only walking in that authority, but agreeing with that authority. And I've got to tell you something. I've seen so many situations, and I've been through so many as a believer, to where situations get out of hand. And if you look at the situation, many times the kingship of Jesus has really come into focus as to not being desired. Mm-hmm. This is a reality. We get in trouble as Christians, obviously, when we make him less of a king and make ourselves more of a king. So I want you to think about this. And in a funny way, like I said, Israel wanted a king. We went over this last week. Samuel was told by God, give him a king. He's not going to be a just king. He's not going to be a righteous king. You know what I'm saying? But hear their voice. So this is really important. But I want to say the church needs to start demanding a king. Every time I've sat in a circle of pastors, leaders, theological people, and they're debating about the solidness of Scripture or listening to Scripture or doing it their own way, I'm always hearing a struggle that the kingship of Jesus should be in our midst, but we're doing something else. And how many times, I want you to think about this, you could help people too. So many times that we're in trouble, it did come down to a matter of kingship. It did come down to a matter of listening to the Lord. When we don't, we do get in trouble. There's no doubt about it. Now, the beautiful thing is that God, now I want you to hear me on this, God has made provision. Are you with me on this, guys? I'm glad that when I get on the throne and to actually think I should be there, I'm glad that Jesus can jam me, can prick my conscience, and can say, Mike, this isn't working. And I'm glad that I can take that time then and say, I am sorry, Lord, I repent. I absolutely put myself on the throne instead of you. And I want to just say this because sometimes we have problems, and they're different problems, and your problems may not be my problems, and they may all be different problems, but I'm just getting at the essence that sometimes so much of it really is God's way, our way. Jesus is Lord, Jesus is King, or you is King, and you is Lord. So obedience to authority, and if Jesus is a king, you know, and he's wonderful. And I remember one time this person talking to a person, they were a Christian and this friend wasn't. And they just said, if Jesus is so wonderful, why are you so sad all the time? I want you to think about this. If Jesus is so wonderful, why are you so sad? If he's so awesome, I heard this person say that and it really grabbed me because they had a point. Like, If Jesus is awesome, he didn't say, why aren't you perfect? Why aren't you happy 24/7? But the person he was talking to was depressed most of the time. And he was trying to figure out if Jesus is this amazing Savior and he gives new life. I want to see it in you. Now, it's important that a kingdom needs obedience. And this is important. Listen, the fact of the matter is, God desires us to listen. And you will learn. Sometimes you will learn through your mistakes. Sometimes you will learn a hard lesson by not listening. And the Lord will bring you into obedience. But another aspect of a king, Jesus needs to be king again, is we got to bow down. We need to worship. This is interesting. In the earthly kings, when you would approach them, many times you had to bow. And what that meant when you were bowing is you were bowing to their authority. You were recognizing they were the ultimate authority in the kingdom. That's why kings had, in some kingdoms, would hold out their signet ring. If they desired to let you get close to them, you would kiss the ring. And once you kissed the ring, they were actually saying, I'm going to permit you to be close to me. I'm going to permit you to talk to me. The thing that bothers me a little bit in some New Testament theology, and it's not really New Testament theology, it's more of a Western theology, is we've lost the sense of the mightiness of the king. We've lost the sense of the bowing down before the throne. We've lost the sense of kissing the ring. You know, it's interesting in John, in the fourth chapter, the woman at the well, remember? That Jesus tells the woman, an hour is coming that God seeks those who worship him to worship him in spirit and truth. And that word worship, proskuneitu, is the word they got for bowing down. So even when Jesus is still alive, he hasn't been crucified yet, he hasn't paid the ultimate price, he's telling this woman, Syrophoenician, he's telling her, there's an hour coming where God's looking for followers that will know, that will worship, they will bow down, they will kiss his ring again. He's looking not for privileged brats, but he's looking for people that will worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, this is interesting. I want you to think about that word that used in John 4 when he says proskuneitu, and he's saying to bow down, to worship is to bow down, to worship is to kiss the ring. It puts a new perspective, because think about this. Jesus is about to, he's going to be crucified. 3.5 years, he's going to be crucified, he's going to raise. So he's saying, the future of God's kingdom is going to be what God is seeking out, that he wants to make his people. And they're going to be people that bow down. And they're going to understand the authority of God. They're going to be a people that kiss the ring. To understand that it is a privilege to be with the Father. To understand what it is to know authority. Just a thought in our lives, because Jesus will always be on a throne. It's not a democracy. God's government will not reflect the governments of the earth. God's government will be different than that. And the interesting thing in the theocracy of God, as we talked about last week, is there is only one king, and his word is final, and his word is absolute. The church is really struggling with this, because we can ascend to certain ideas but fight other ideas that are clear in Scripture. I'm not getting into hard to interpret things. I can see seasons in my life, absolutely, and as a sinner especially, where I was king. And then sometimes even as a believer, where you take an obedience sabbatical to where God wants you to listen to him. Where you're trying to make something work that isn't biblical, that isn't right, but you're trying to make it work nonetheless. Once again, playing your own king. We do have a natural bent towards that, but thank God he's making a new creation. Now I want you to go to 9:3, and we're going to read that in 1 Samuel 9:3, and I'll give you a bit to go there. Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 9, verses 3. Now we know that Saul was a handsome man. This was going to be, you know, this was the people's pick for a king, not God's. But just the same, God, the way he works in this, is still his way. And in verse 3, it says, now the donkeys of Kish, Saul's father, were lost. So Kish said to his son Saul, take now with you one of the servants and arise. Go search for the donkeys. It says, he passed through the hill country of Ephraim and passed through the land of Shalisah, but they did not find them. Then they passed through the land of Shalim, but they were not there. Then he passed through the land of the Benjamites, but they did not find them. And it goes on. When they came to the land of Zuf, Saul said to his servant who was with him, "Come, and let us return, or else my father will cease to be concerned about the donkeys and will be anxious for us." So Saul's, they're not finding the donkeys. And, you know, livestock was really important. And whatever livestock you had, it meant something. And he goes on in verse 6, he said, and he said to him, "Behold, now there is a man of God in this city, and the man is held in honor. All that he says surely comes true. Now, let us go there. Perhaps he can tell us about our journey on which we have set out." What I loved about prophets, in real biblical prophets, prophets many times could tell you knowledge they should not know. Oftentimes I've seen people called prophets that are more encouragers, and they don't reveal God's heart, nor do they reveal your heart, and there's encouragement. You know, I worked a lot in a word of knowledge years ago, and I know that there's been some prophetic stuff in my life, and it's like seasons, where there are seasons where it moves a lot. And I think it's important that the prophetic, that people can see that what you say comes about, that you will have knowledge sometimes of things you shouldn't have. And it's interesting, I want you to get this in your spirit. This is what I'm really getting at. God is about to use a practical issue in Saul's life to introduce Saul to his future. So many times we separate our lives into secular and spiritual. We look at our work and we go, "That's not spiritual or even Christian, it's just a job. I do this, I do that, I do all earthly things, and God's not really involved." I've seen many people back in the day, I used to hear people talk about they hate secular work, they hate secular work, they wish they could work for the Lord. And my pastor had a real problem with that philosophy and said, "Listen, you're a believer in the kingdom of God, a son of God, daughter of God. As far as I'm concerned, there's no such thing as secular work. If we ask God out of the practical thinking, God's certainly not here because this is just a job, it's where I make my money, we're missing the point. God is about to anoint Saul as king. But the way that God gets Saul to run into Samuel is going to be a set of lost donkeys. In the same way, sometimes your life is taking a curve. Sometimes one that you didn't want, that you don't expect, it takes a curve. And as your life takes a curve, you're convinced that, you know, I lost this, this happened, and you're upset about it. And in your mind, you want to find the donkeys. That's it. You've never given it a thought that it's possible that some of the hassle or the static or whatever you're going through could be God, without you knowing it, leading you to find out the next step of the way. Sometimes we get into situations we don't like. We don't even like them. We're forced to do something we don't like to do. And what's funny about it is God is so desperately, he is trying to get us to the place to find the next step. But we just simply see it as a job, as money, as this, and I'm here, and this certainly isn't spiritual, I don't like it. Saul, they lose the donkeys, and God's actually going to use the donkeys. Now, I'm not even going to get into the things that, did God lose the donkeys? Seriously? Was that really who was leading the donkeys to disappear? Because if you look at what it drives Saul to, it's a perfect picture. Are you ready to understand that? See, I work in two sets. I want to be happy, I want to be comfortable, don't you? As far as I'm concerned, if I'm uncomfortable, God needs to fix it so I am comfortable. And if I've lost something, God needs to simply get it for me because I'm angry that I lost it. And my world gets so narrow that if God come up and slap me in the face, I probably wouldn't recognize it was God. Sometimes we're all like this. But Saul gets this thing to where this whole thing is going to lead him to the man of God who's not just going to show him where the donkeys are. Here's the other thing. But he goes on in verse 6, "And Saul said to his servant, 'But behold, if we go, what shall we bring the man? For the bread is gone from our sack, and there is no present to bring to the man of God. What do we have?' Because normally, if you inquired of God, the prophets made their, really that was kind of their living. So you wouldn't go empty-handed to the man of God. You would come with a present. And in those days, you didn't get a Starbucks card, you know what I'm saying. I mean, you had cattle, you had land, you had food. The existence was simple. but you would drop off. And it's interesting because that was biblical, and it was not abnormal for the guy to prophesy, but for the people that came to inquire of him, they would bring something. Now, I want to say this. This wasn't hokey to where you got some televangelist taking all your money, but this was legitimate. I'm going to go to this prophet. He's going to tell me where the donkeys is, and he's a man of God. I'm going to honor him. I'm going to bring him a gift. And so they go through this whole thing, all right? Because it reads on, formerly in Israel, when a man went to inquire, inquire of God, he used to say, come and let us go to the seer. For he who was called a prophet now was formerly called a seer. Then Saul said to his servant, well said, come, let us go. So they went to the city where the man of God was. As they went up the slope to the city, they found young women going out to draw water and said to them, is the seer here? Verse 12, they answered him and said, he is. See, he is ahead of you. Hurry now. For he has come into the city today, for the people have a sacrifice on the high place today. Now, here's the really cool thing, because again, they're progressing, and now they're at this place. And as soon as you enter the city, you will find him before he goes up to the high place to eat, for the people will not eat until he comes, because he must bless the sacrifice afterward. Those who are invited will eat. Now, therefore, go up, for you will find him at once. So they went up to the city. As they came into the city, behold, Samuel was coming out towards them to go up to the high place. Now, at this point, we're getting real near to what's about to transpire. Now, a day before Saul's coming, the Lord had revealed this to Samuel, saying, about this time tomorrow, I will send you a man from the land of Benjamin, and you shall anoint him to be prince over my people Israel, and he will deliver my people from the hand of the Philistines. For I have regarded my people because their cry has come to me. Now I want to explain something to you. You've got to have your ears open. There are times God wants you to help somebody. You know, if you don't believe this, it won't happen. If you don't believe God can speak to you, if you keep saying, I'm just not one of those people, and God can't do that, God's already preparing Samuel, and he's a seer, and he's a prophet, so it makes sense. God's already telling him that he's going to meet a guy at that time the next day, so Samuel's ready. There's two things we got to be in our lives. We got to be ready to receive from the Lord and the things that he wishes to speak to us. We got to also be the people that are also ready to speak into others. I want to say something. It's important in your life that you don't get caught up in the noise to where you just start existing. It's funny how we equate life with, like I said, are we comfortable? Do we have enough of this? Do we have enough of that? Are we doing things that make us happy? And we narrow our existence down to just a few things. And I'm telling you, God wants to use you. God wants to speak to you or speak through you. It's one or the other. You need to ready your heart to say, I can hear God, and therefore, because I can hear God, I'm going to go forward. And sometimes he's going to give you a word for somebody. You know, I've seen this so many times where I've dealt with people where I'm bringing something to them or they're bringing something to me. You know, I was on a job the other day and I just had a testimony, and it was kind of simple. I needed about a 5-foot ladder, not a big ladder, and my back had been hurting a bit and I really needed a light ladder. And I end up getting a call from my boss, and he says, hey, so-and-so lost his ladder. I said, I know where it is. It's on another site. We're on multiple buildings. So I drive there, and he says, keep it with you. Put it in your car. So I do that. I put it in my car. And I get to the job site, and I'm realizing, I'm like, wow, is there a ladder? And I look at my back seat and go, this is the perfect 5-foot. And it's fiberglass, so it's super light. Now, right away, I caught that, and I went, God is faithful. God is faithful. Then I had a friend, good friend, one of my best buddies, speaks spiritually into me, accountability partner, and he says, hey, where are you working? What site? You want to do lunch? So I go to lunch with him, and he has this sheet he's typed out for his life. But he said, I really felt to give it to you too. And the stuff on this paper, the anointing of God is there, and it's speaking to me right in the current. So now I'm too deep. I'm 5 foot ladder, and I'm the word of the Lord on two sheets of paper. And I'm recognizing it right away. The minute I start reading it, I could feel the presence of God on it. I knew the Lord was in it. And then I'm at the job site, and this is going to sound funny. And then thirdly, this man comes in with a platter with two fudgesicles on it and says, "Do you want these?" Now, I know that sounds really weird. And you're like, "Don't take food from strangers." I thought, son of a gun, fudgesicles, one of my favorite things. Two of them on a plate, and he just gives them to me and walks out. And I said, and I really said, "Lord," and it really busted me up. I said, "Lord, you know, there's these simple things, but you have reminded me you're there." Yeah. My problems weren't solved that day, all of them. But the biggest problem I was having was solved because my Father was reminding me, I'm in the mix. I'm in the mix. I'm here. I'm in the mix. And it reminds me of this. You go, "No, it's nothing like it." But I'm telling you, the echo of God, the voice of God going into your day, recognizing it. And I get real careful when this stuff happens nowadays because I feel like you got to recognize the Father. You know, sometimes somebody goes, "You better give thanks for that." They're not just telling you to mind your manners. What they're telling you is to recognize heaven's involvement in your life and how heaven is intruding and how heaven, God of heaven, the God of heaven is dealing with you. Now, I want you to think about all these practical things because for Saul, he's not trying to be a king. He's trying to get some donkeys. But isn't this true that sometimes you get into something and God uses it mightily, but when you're going into it, you don't see much in it. But you do this and all of a sudden this stuff starts panning out in your situation. You go, "Oh my gosh, I could have missed that." Do you know how many times there has been one door that is open and it was insignificant that turned out to be a path of life for me that was major and huge? A lot. I would even dare to say today that each one of you has things that are going on in your life. I'm not saying bad things. It could be good things. And there are certain things that you don't even realize that they're heading somewhere that you really need to get. Now, I want to say this. You might not want to get there, but God needs you to get there. There's a difference. Again, I sit and I just want to feel good. I want to be happy. I don't want static. I want this. God's trying to make us, he's dealing with me, making me a son of God. And we're, our genders aren't lining up much sometimes. God's like, "You want comfort? I need a son." So sometimes it's going to hurt, Mike. So about that, you want to always be comfortable thing. That's not going to work out for the plan. But you'll become who I need you to become. You'll become who I want you to become if you'll do this. And then I look in this and it's really kind of a beautiful thing, isn't it, guys? Now, he comes up to Samuel, right? "When Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said to him, 'Behold, the man of whom I spoke to you, this one shall rule over my people.' Then Saul approached Samuel in the gate and said, 'Please tell me where the seer's house is.' Samuel answered Saul and said, 'I am the seer. Go up before me to the high place, for you shall eat with me today, and in the morning I will let you go and will tell you all that is in your mind.'" Wow. Wow, that's big. So far the seer is speaking to him, right? And he invites him to the table, which was a real honor. Remember, it talks about not giving priority to the rich man, like you set him in the high place and the poor man in the low place. Sometimes people think there's a connection here because Saul was a nobody. He was in the tribe of Benjamin, the smallest tribe. He's about to sit with the seer. It's a treat. He didn't have to seek out honor. God honored him. And because God honored him, he was about to be honored big time. And then, but Samuel goes on. He says, "As for the donkeys, which were lost 3 days ago, do not set your mind on them, for they have been found. And for whom is all that is desirable in Israel? Is it not for you and for all your father's household?" I want to explain something to you. Sometimes God is about to run you into the future and God wants to speak things to you. It may be through somebody. It may be directly to your heart. It may be through a prophetic person. And he's about to tell you something about yourself that if you hear it, you won't be able to equate it. It might not make sense. I remember the first time that I was told about my calling, it absolutely didn't make sense. I could not grasp it the day it was spoken. It hit me. I felt the physical presence of God. But as far as what they were saying, I couldn't connect with it. And yet somehow he knew it was God that was saying it, but there didn't seem to be the connection I would have liked. And yet there was the Lord revealing. And he's doing it to Saul right now. He's telling him. But check this out. The fact of the matter where God's trying to take you. Saul replied, am I not a Benjamite of the smallest of the tribes of Israel? And my family least of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin? Why then do you speak to me in this way? Because Samuel's telling Saul what he's going to be. And in the present, Saul can't find a thread of evidence that supports what God is saying he'll be. Now, this is what's really critical. I really believe this too. There are many times God wants to speak to you about your situation, even your calling, even your destiny. Sometimes he wants to speak to your situation, your marriage, your friendships, and he wants to show you where it's going to go. And you may go, Lord, all that you're saying, I mean, why do you speak this way to me? Because none of what you're saying seems apparent right now. So Saul gets challenged with the call of the Lord, and the first thing Saul does, he consults with flesh and blood. God calls him to be a prince over Israel. He starts speaking of the favor and authority, and Saul analyzes what's around him at the moment. Has God ever given you a promise? And when he gave it to you, the first thing you did is looked at who you are, how much you have, what you think you're capable of. And yet God was directly trying to show you, I'm going to do something in you that right today, you're not functioning in. Right today, it won't seem like it's real. It'll seem like a pipe dream. It'll seem like it's not even doable. And one thing I want to tell you, and I got good news for you. Saul looks immediately at who he is, his tribe, his lack of importance. But God has mercy, and that's okay. God doesn't go, oh, you said that, you're not going to be a prince now. Forget you. I'll go find a guy that believes me when I speak to them. Then Samuel took Saul and his servant and brought them into the hall and gave them a place at the head of those who were invited, who were about 30 men. Remember that verse, don't sit the rich in the high place. When you go into a place, sit in the lower place. That way when they invite you to the place of honor, it'll really be an honor. And a lot of people believe that even that scripture in James, many would have thought of this. Here's Saul, the little guy, unimportant. Suddenly God's honoring Saul. Suddenly, God is bringing honor to Saul. You know, it's interesting. I really think it's important that we let God's honor find us when we demand to be the center of attention, when we demand to be, you know, we want to be noticed. I think many times it works against us. And I think it's awesome when God elevates you. It can be your job. It can be your job position. It can be ministry. It can be anything. It's important that the principle of walking in humility, and then God comes and God says, you know what? I'm going to make you something more and you will be honored. I have personally known the honor of God with some very amazing men, and it wasn't always sitting at the head of the table. But through the years, as my life developed and the callings in my life, I found myself with amazing men of God. And I found often a favor coming from God to be with them. And yet it was nothing I ever sought out. You just look one day and you have this honor and respect and people love you and they trust you. And guys that, you know, that, again, men of God that have been around a lot longer than me, there's an honor there. And I want to say this to you. Your time will come. But I think it's very important that we deal with today and we walk in humility. Saul's time had come, and here it was, okay? Samuel said to the cook, bring the portion that I gave you, concerning which I had said to you, set it aside. Then the cook took up the leg with what was on it and set it before Saul. And Samuel said, here is what has been reserved. Set it before you and eat, because it has been kept for you until the appointed time. Since I said, I have invited the people. So Saul ate with Samuel that day. Do you know that God's got a provision that he's made for your life that even today, some of it you do not know? It is not in your bank account yet. It has not showed up on the ledger yet. You don't even know the possibility of how God is going to bring it. You can't even feel it today as I'm saying this. In fact, even as I say this, in your mind you go, could that possibly be true? This situation is so hard, I don't know. I'd like to believe that. I'd like to believe that God has set a portion aside for me. I would love to believe that, Pastor Mike, but it's difficult. I'm going through this, I'm going through that. I don't know how, I don't see it. and I'm troubled because my eye cannot see what you have put aside for me. And you've not put it on my plate yet, God. But the beautiful thing is, in advance, Samuel had already put this aside, and it was the best cut. 3 days before that, Saul was a Benjamite. He was the least in the tribes. 3 days before that, he was a herder. They had animals. They had donkeys. They had cattle. 3 days before that, that portion was nowhere to be seen, and he couldn't have guessed it. Now, what I want you to catch is the hope, the faith, and the awe of the Father and his ability to do the things you need to believe. And I want to say this, though. God is always asking you to believe. When you doubt, he's saying, believe. When things look bad, he's saying, trust me. You can't see the portion, it's not been put there, he wants you to say, God has my portion, and he has placed it aside. And it is measured for me, not even for anybody else. It's not a general portion, it's a specified portion. To my life, to your life, to our life. When they came down from the high place into the city, Samuel spoke with Saul on the road. And when they arose early at daybreak, Samuel called to Saul on the roof, saying, get up, that I may send you away. So Saul arose, and both he and Samuel went out into the street. As they were going down to the edge of the city, Samuel said to Saul, say to the servant that he might go ahead of us and pass on, but you remain standing now that I may proclaim the word of the Lord. Now, I want to say this. This is really amazing. But here it is. The anointing is about to happen. All right, guys, are you with me on this? He's about to get anointed. Saul needs to believe this because Saul could have said no. Saul could have said, this doesn't make any sense. Thanks for the meal. It was awesome. I'm Benjamite. I'm going home. I don't know what you think about me, but you don't know me. But here's the thing. One thing Saul does have a faith in, he knows that Samuel's a seer, and he believes that the guy speaks the word of the Lord. And it's funny, because he tells the servant to go ahead, because he wants to speak to Samuel in a personal way, in an intimate way. He wants to anoint him to be king, and it's just him and the seer. And in a way, just him and God. I want you to get a hold of this today. Then Samuel took the flask of oil, poured it on his head, kissed him and said, has not the Lord anointed you a ruler over his inheritance? This is a real amazing thing because there are anointings and portions that God has saved for you. Some of them aren't on you or they're seated in you, but they haven't activated yet, but they are there nevertheless. And God will cause the seed to activate at the season that it is needed. What we don't understand a lot about is that the Lord seeds a bunch of stuff into your spirit. Did you know when you were born again, even at the moment, God knew your future? He knew exactly what you would become. He knew exactly what he called you to. He knew all the seeds that he put in you, and they would spring up in season. And different things would manifest themselves in season, out of season. You would see how this works. But he anoints Saul because it, with this oil, is a symbol of the Spirit of God. And you're not going to get anything done without the Spirit. And I want to take you here. Many times we can get wrapped in career. We can get into, we're very consumed with that. And we're very consumed with making enough money to pay the mortgage, to pay the rent. You know, I get all of that. And what God begins to do is he's got stuff in you, even for, again, we'll say that's a bad word. Secular work is a bad word. There can't be such a thing. Because I'm a son of God, your sons and daughters of God, we're part of the kingdom. How is anything I do just plain or practical? Think about this for a minute. Let God start invading the secular, so to speak. Believe God wants to speak to you, to use you, to work through that avenue, whatever that practical issue is. Now here's the amazing thing, because he tells him this, and he anoints him with oil. He tells the future. He says, when you go from me today, then you will find two men close to Rachel's tomb in the territory of the Benjamite, etc. And they will say to you, the donkeys which you went to look for have been found. Now behold, your father has ceased to be concerned about the donkeys and is anxious for you, saying, what shall I do about my son? Then you will go on further from there and you will come as far as the oaks of Tabor. And there, three men going up to God at Bethel will meet you, one carrying 3 young goats, another carrying 3 loaves of bread, and another carrying a jug of wine. And they will greet you and will give you 2 loaves of bread, which you will accept from their hand. Afterward, you will come to the hill of God, where the Philistine garrison is, and it shall be as soon as you have come there to the city that you will meet a group of prophets coming down from the high place with harp, tambourine, flute, and a lyre before them, and they will be prophesying. Then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you mightily, and you shall prophesy with them and be changed into another man. It shall be when these signs come to you, do for yourself what the occasion requires, for God is with you. And you shall go down before me to Gilgal, and behold, I will come down to you to offer burnt offerings and sacrifice peace offerings. You shall wait 7 days until I come to you and show you what you should do. Then it happened when he turned his back to leave Samuel, God changed his heart, and all these things came about on that day. So basically, Samuel's got one more thing. He anoints him with oil. But that a symbolic anointing of oil was about to be fulfilled as he comes up where the prophets are. The Spirit of God is going to fall on Saul. He's going to be a different man. I want to share something, and I believe it's very profound for any of us. There are future things that God will call you to do, but the Spirit of the Lord, like I said, hasn't activated those seeds yet. Now you look and go, I could never do that. I could never do that. I'm not like that. I'm not like that. And I understand it. Because in the current day, that anointing is not really working in your life. But that doesn't mean the anointing is not there. See, many times we try to figure out our future by who we are today. And I'm going to tell you something the Lord told me. Many times he showed me different parts of the future. And I've seen things come about. And I've had things spoken over me that come about. But the one thing I started realizing in the latter years, and it's very much in my spirit today as I speak to you, I started realizing that some of the things he showed me I would do, it wasn't just me in the future. But it was me that had been transformed, and that the Spirit of God would make me a different man. That some of that destiny I saw would actually be a different man, be a different Mike. It would be me, but it would be different because I would become another man. This is what's really important, because sometimes you doubt the future of God, and we sit there and we try to figure in the present, I'm this, I got this hang up, I do this. And God is going to have you come upon that hill. He's going to have the Spirit of God is going to come down on you and more change, more change. Now, I've become a different man and become a different man and become a different man. And I'm sure you can share in this thing. But all in the call of God, and then Samuel to prove that God is speaking. He gives him information of the future that he can no way have. Think about this. He'll give you 2 loaves of bread. You'll go here. They'll find the donkeys. He gives specific. Samuel does not mess around. God uses Samuel. He says, listen, I'm going to tell you these things. It's going to show you. You're going to know. How about if I told you, you got this call and this is going to happen. And all these people are going to come. They're going to give you, 2 loaves of bread. And you're walking down and all of a sudden somebody comes up to you and hands you that. The first thing you would say in your mind is, that was definitely God, because there's no way Pastor Mike could have known that. Now, I want to say something. God does that many times. I remember I had an experience, a very heavy experience, wonderful experience with Jesus way back. And I was given 4 people to share the experience with, but I was told at the point to not share with anybody else. Decades went by, I may add. And I had for each person, when I called them, the Lord said very clearly, they will not believe what you're telling them. It will seem is not possible. He said, so every one of them you call, you're going to give them a timestamp, and there's going to be an event at that timestamp that's going to happen. They will be on the phone with you, and when you will tell them, they will pretend to be excited, but they'll believe you're daydreaming or something. But you're going to give them a timestamp, and when that happens, they're going to call you back and repent. And I called 4 people. And the 4 people, I gave a particular time stamp, and I told them of a particular event that would occur at that very moment. And just as the Lord said, I shared with the 4 of them, and each one of them I gave a time stamp to and said, this is going to happen. This is going to happen. This is going to happen. And you're going to know that what I'm telling you is of God, and you're going to know that I've been with him. And sure enough, I told the 4, and at the times 3:12, there was 4:15, there was 5:36. And these things happened. And I kept getting the calls back. The people were, I'm so sorry, Mike. I doubted what you were saying, because the exact thing at the timestamp occurred. Now, God will do that many times. I had a guy prophesying over me at a conference, and I was actually supposed to be working in the conference as a minister. And one of the first things he did when I got up to him, he said, 20 years ago, and he told me an exact event, and he said, this happened. You've not told anybody except four people. And he told me this whole thing. He said, now the reason I'm telling you that is so that, because you try all things. You don't believe just anything. So I'm telling you this because you're going to know that I speak for God when I'm about to tell you what I'm about to tell you. And it was on the money. And he said, is this accurate? I said, this is absolutely accurate. So he said, good, let's go forward. And he began to speak into me. Because sometimes God wants to boost your faith. Because I don't know about you, but you can say, thus says the Lord all day to me, and it doesn't necessarily move me. In fact, sometimes I believe people say, thus says the Lord, to get a point across that God has nothing to do with. Many times people, I call it, it's actually empty prophecy. They're trying to look like a prophet, but the fact of the matter is, it's just that. It's an act. How many heard about the one televangelist that had an earpiece in his ear and was telling people about themselves, but they had filled out cards when they came into the assembly, and his wife was in a back room reading the cards, you know what I'm saying? And he was calling out stuff on the card, but he actually had a prompter in his ear. That's not prophetic, that's pathetic. But it's funny, just because that happens doesn't mean God doesn't do it, because he does. As we close, I want you to think of something. I think a lot of us are churched for years, and we've seen it all. We really have seen a lot. We have. We've been around. We've seen the good, the bad, the ugly, the scandals. I mean, I could go on and on. But I want you to understand something today, too, as we're going to close, that just like Saul, there's a future. Just like Saul, you need to believe where God's leading you. Just like Saul, God may be using even a practical thing in your life to drive you to a point that you would not go to voluntarily. And because he's your father, he's good enough to do that. Think about this for a minute. Like I said, I was talking to a friend about certain situations, and we were marveling because of where we've ended up today. And he said, I know as a fact, if God would have said to me or you, do this, this, and this, because you're supposed to do this, we would have said, it doesn't make sense. And we would have refrained and said, not going to do it. But the Father in his mercy has this thing to where he will deal with you. And it's merciful when he does it. And he will get you there. Sometimes we hear, you know, I know we like the image of God says, Mike, do this, and I obey. But I hate to say this, sometimes stuff is so far out that we're like, I just can't see it. And what he does is he forces the issue. He actually forces the issue. So whatever means necessary, God orchestrates this thing, and he brings you to another place. In fact, he's gentle enough to where if it's really hard for your mind to grasp, he'll put it to you and bring it to you in such a way, I've seen this, to where he baby steps you into it so you don't like lose your mind or freak out. But this is critical. Let's all stand and pray today. Most important thing you need to understand is this. The Father says, what does God say about himself, even in his name? I am that I am, I change not. Here's what that means, guys. The way God has approached people is always the way God will approach people. And the hand of God with one is like the hand of God with another. And the Lord will bring things to pass. And he's working just like he worked in Saul's day. He's working like he worked in Peter's day. He's working like he worked in Abraham's day. The most amazing thing about the Father, and it's even in the name Yahweh, what we call the Tetragrammaton in Hebrew. The Lord changes not. He doesn't change. He is, in essence, the exact same God you're reading about, working he is working, as he always has. Somebody once told me, you know, God needs to catch up because he's kind of outdated. And I said, are you serious? I said, I am serious. I said, what you just said doesn't make a lick of sense, because if he created man and created the time-space continuum, how is it God would have to catch up with anything? Because he is eternal outside of time. He understands as time goes by. But he certainly doesn't need to catch up. And I said, I told the person, you know, you really need to change that because you're really hurting yourself. I said, what you're saying right now, you've put God, you don't even understand God. I said, and I said, I'm not trying to be critical, but you're missing it so badly that you actually think God's like a cantankerous old man that has to, you know, get with the times. He's like the grandfather that you always say hi to, but you don't like to converse with. God's God. He's ageless, timeless. He always has been and always will be. He is so outside of being ancient, because when you've always been, you're eternal. It's different. It's like infinity, no beginning, no end. But I want you encouraged today. And I want you to understand that the same Father that sequenced these events is, I believe, wants to sequence events in your life more than you're knowing right now. And sometimes he's using a practical to bring you to a place that you would not go if he tried to explain it to you because it would seem too far-fetched. God can use anything and everything. So be careful how you doubt your life. Be careful how you doubt your circumstance, because many times you may be doubting God himself, because he's the one that's spinning things around. He's the one that's turning things. Enough of the doubt, enough of the stagnation. Let's pray. Lord, as we dismiss from here today, I look at Saul, I look at Samuel, and I've seen many things in my life, Lord, that have been very similar. We've all seen your intervention. We've all seen it. But, Lord, there's something deep here today in that you're bringing us different places. Some of the places we would not volunteer to go. Even this morning, I pray for every heart here, every person here, even those that would listen online to the message. I pray right now a spirit of encouragement. I pray right now that you would speak, you would bring that personalized word even off this message and so show them you've got their number, you know where we're at, you are greater than us, and you are in control. As we dismiss from here today, I pray a blessing would fall down on us. I pray a blessing would fall down on us. As we are leaving here today, all the way in the back with Lalo and Inez, all the way to the front with Anna and Melissa sitting, and all the seats in between. Lord, that we can bask in your glory, and we can also bask in your certainty. You, Lord, I have strained much only because I disbelieve sometimes, but you have never strained with my life. I have strained much because I have come short, not been obedient in certain seasons when I needed to be. But thank you, Father, that you chasten those whom you love. You take us to the woodshed, and that's okay because you love us. I pray as we go today, Lord, I believe you did works in people's hearts, even their bodies, in sickness, and in different questions are being answered. And I thank you because that's who you are. So pour out today. Pour out today and bless us, God. In the name of Jesus, bless us. Amen and amen. God bless everyone. Great having you today. So glad to see you all. I pray that this was a blessing to you. God bless. Thank you.